Hello, 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 Jacksonville and Jag Nation. I am your host, Jeremy York. Jeremy the Impact York, in case it's easier to remember, especially with my Twitter account being at TheImpact99, or if you want to text or tweet us here at the show at 3endzone, we'll get you there as well. Welcome to Jaguar Zone. I hope you guys are as fired up as I am. I thought it was a tremendous weekend to be a Jag fan. And, you know, we're going to get to a preview of next week's game. We're going to talk about some of the injuries. We're going to talk about some of the other things going on. I'm going to try to keep you up with as much as I know to this point, which is quite a bit. But for right now, we're going to jump right into talking about that game over the weekend. Was that not a beautiful game? Was that not just a great day in general to be a Jaguar fan? And not just because they ended up picking up the win, but the way they picked up the win. You know, I get on here all the time, and a lot of people say it sounds like I'm on a soapbox or in a tunnel even, but, you know, I try to every week find what we need to do to get better to win. And in order to win last week, you know, I went on record of saying, you know, got to find a dominant run game. We got to find one guy that emerges with some guys that are good change behind them. A lot of other teams are trying to figure this out. The whole committee thing, to me, is goofy. So the fact that the Jaguars don't do a committee, I like that. I told you they're going to have to learn to stop the run. Get a little better in the zone and man coverages. I mean, it seems like they did all those things to me. I don't know about you guys. That was that was what I gathered from it. And we had a bunch of different games on where I was at. And by the end of it, I had more people watching the Jaguar game because of the just overall what they were putting on it. I mean, it just, maybe we converted some more people. Maybe there's some more people on the wagon here. It's, you know, it's never full here on the Jaguar wagon. I thought it was just a thing of beauty that, I mean, 24-6 on the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, who came in at 3-2, have been a good team this year. Got a top 10 defense. Brian Hoyer has been a great passer. Tate, Crowell, West, Hawkins even for them have been good runners. Isaiah Crowell, I was able to see him in college a good bit. He's a great runner. They got Miles Austin catching balls for him. Hawkins again. Jordan Cameron. They got all kinds of weapons and things they've been using, you know, because they're in a similar boat. They didn't have Josh Gordon all year, where we haven't had Blackman. You know, things kind of have turned out good for them. And then they came into Jacksonville, and wow. I'm not going to say I was shocked. I knew we were going to, you know, we're going to be in this game. I just didn't realize it was going to be so quickly pretty much done. I mean, Blake Bortles, 17 for 31. I'm good with that. I mean, like I said, I like between, especially a rookie quarterback, but any quarterback in general, between 30 and 40. I like him 35 or less. That's 31 passes. I'm good for that. Only 159 yards, but I'm good with that because he did make a couple mistakes with the three interceptions. Always, interceptions are not always on a quarterback. I'm not throwing blame on anybody in particular. I'm not calling him out in some crazy way like Pac-Man Jones does on his team. This is a different team. This is in the Bengals. He did have the one touchdown throw. In fact, he threw it to Allen Robinson, who got his first ever touchdown. Congratulations, Mr. Robinson. I look forward to talking to you again. Was able to talk to you before the season on a Fathead Google Hangout. There's actually one later on tonight. If I get this posted in time, you guys should jump over on that. I'm not sure if they have any guests coming in, but the Fathead on Google are always awesome. Allen Robinson, though, he had the receptions, 60 yards. That's exactly what I want out of probably one of the best young route runners in the league. Clay Harbor got in on the action with 6 catches. Todman Lee, Hearn, Sanders, they all got a catch here and there. Cecil Shorts with 3 catches. Bortles is starting to throw this ball around. But the thing that finally made this whole thing work was the fact that Denard Robinson, who was allowed to start, I wasn't sure what was going to happen when they said that no Gerhardt. I was interested to see, you know, my thing has always been, if you're trying one guy or if you're trying two guys and it's not quite working out the way you want, go to the next guy. Keep trying something different. You're at a spot right now. I mean, coming in didn't have a win, so you might as well try something different. See if something can emerge. See if somebody will play a different way. Sure enough, he was able to. 22 attempts for 127 yards. They finally had a 100-yard rusher. You know, put this in perspective. You know, also on Impact Media every week, we cover the Falcons. The Falcons haven't had a 100-yard-plus rusher in 33 games. And yet, here it is. You're what? He was second, third on the depth chart to start the year. Denard Robinson, he was a quarterback at Michigan, decided to be a running back so that he could actually play in the league. It's actually a strong point is the running. I mean, now that he's figured out the system, he had 127 yards and a touchdown. And he played like a starting running back. Storm Johnson was the great change of pace back. I thought that did well. Blake Bortles able to pick up 5 runs for 37 yards. I'm good with that too, including that 18-yarder that was just, it's beautiful. It did remind me a lot of Ben Roethlisberger early in his career. Bortles is going to be quite something. He's already something now, but he's got all the tools and all the things, and it's going to go really, really well. But like I said, you know, Storm Johnson was able to come in. He actually was able to rush for a touchdown as well. I'm glad both those guys were able to hit the end zone. Like I said, Allen Robinson with his. I mean, it was just Robinson, Johnson. And with Bortles sprinkling it all over the place, man. It was a good day to be a Jags fan. You know, we look over here at some of the Browns stats. Like I said, the Browns have been doing pretty well. You know, I won't lie, a couple fantasy leagues I've been in, I've started Brian Hoyer a couple weeks because of the matchups. I clearly did not start him this week. I'm not dumb. And if you did, you know, I'm not saying you're dumb either, but I knew good and well Hoyer probably wasn't going to do very well against this defense. He was 16 for 41. Not bad. It's about a third of his passes. 215 and one interception. Yep, no touchdowns for Hoyer. Does this mean Johnny Football's coming in? No, not at all. Brian Hoyer's still their guy going forward. And everybody's favorite clipboard holder can keep holding his clipboard right now. Manziel will get his chance sometime, and I look forward to it as well. You know, there were certain times I was curious to see if they would put him in the Jacksonville game, just to see. But, you know, enough about Browns quarterbacks. You know, Ben Tate, their number one runner, 16 attempts, 36 yards. The longest he had was an 18, so half of his yards come in one run. Isaiah Crowell, like I said, I was able to watch him run at Georgia a good bit. 7 carries for 18 yards. His longest was an 11. So over half his yards come in one spout. Terrence West, also been a pretty good pickup in the fantasy leagues and stuff. 5 carries for 8 yards. His longest was 4. So once again, half his yards come in one. Hawkins was able to run for 8 yards. Hoyer with the negative one. That's because just they were swarming all over him. Great. You know, Andrew Hawkins was able to catch 112 yards worth for him. Miles Austin had his usual 53. Dallas fans can remember that's probably career best in the last couple years for Miles Austin. I don't know why he tailed off, but you know, I'm good with him having a hundred yard receiver and another one with 53 and another with 39. I mean, that's fine. It didn't matter in this game. I mean, the things that really stood out to me, you know, the Jaguars were able to get a total of 336 yards. There were 3 turnovers for each team. The 3 turnovers for the Jaguars being the interceptions. But they were in good spots to where the Browns couldn't capitalize. So I like Bortles taking a few shots there. And like I said, it's not always on him. Sometimes it's just dumb luck. Sometimes it's great defense. Sometimes a receiver went the wrong way, or, you know, maybe there was a, you know, running back thinks he needs to go left. Bortles thinks he needs to go right. You know, things happen all the time. There are certain lapses. Maybe you trip over somebody. All kinds of things can happen. In fact, one of those. Let's see, did I make reference to it? No, didn't put that in my notes. But there was only 3 penalties by the Jaguars that only netted 25 penalty yards. They possessed it for a little over half, 31 minutes and 33 seconds, you know. And I'm not just reading the stat sheet here. I'm telling you the game story. This thing was fun to watch, and not just because it was a blowout in Jacksonville's favor. this was what we've all expected the Jags to do. We had to find the right nucleus. It's like putting a giant puzzle together. You got to get a lot of, you know, some people start with the outside, some people start with the inside. You know, maybe they start with the clown face, maybe they start with the balloons or the tree, or you start with whatever you need to. Gus is showing you he's putting the pieces together. You have to figure out which pieces go where. It's the whole round hole, square peg thing. It's just not going to work. Remember I told you the total net yards for Jaguars were 336. They were 70 more than what the Browns had at 266. They were able to just shut them down at all fronts. Frustrated Hoyer to no end. They had three turnovers as well. He only threw the one pick, but they had fumbles, and they were always off balance. They were never comfortable, and that's what you want people to do when they play at Everbank. You want to show people at Everbank, it's our field. That's not your field. Don't think you can play, a home game while you're still outside your city. No. When you come to Everbank, you have to deal with, Duval. You have to deal with, you know, friends of the show, the Till Street Hooligans. You got to deal with the Bold City Brigade and all the just amazing, awesome fans. You got to deal with the people in pools. Everybody thought the pools might be a distraction. Not Jaguar fans. No, they're an enhancement. Those big jumbo screens, that's so that people all the way over in Tampa, that's so the Saints can look up and go, gosh, did you see what the Jaguars just did? I mean, the 49ers just moved into Levi's Stadium or whatever. You know, the Denim Dome, as everybody's calling it. They can look up and go, man, I wish we had a screen that big. We can watch their games from over here. Overall, like I said, it was a fun day to be a part of this. Just a fun day. And I hope all you guys got a chance to watch it. If not, there's places out there you can watch replays. And if you guys have other places people can watch replays of the game, by all means, send it to the show, and we will let people know. My good buddy Casey Jones said that it was just magnificent down there. He said he was down there in lack of a better term, partying with the people. Downer Jag fan, Andy Mathis, who's been on the show a couple times as well. They were down there with the Bold City Brigade and Till Street Hooligans and the rest of Duval and the rest of the fan base, and they said, man, this was one of the coolest days in Jacksonville in a little while. And not just because it was a win. They said everybody was just having a great time, high-fiving. There's actually a funny picture of Josh Scobie where I believe it's one of his kids. It's bent over in front of him. He looks like he's going to punt him. Now, in no way is Josh Scobie going to abuse his kid. He's not that kind of guy. It's just a funny video. I think he's actually kicking something off behind his kid, and it's just the way it looks. But, like I said, the notes I took away from this, because yes, I do take notes during games, or ones I get a chance to. Hopefully, I'll be able to hang out with the Bold City Brigade Atlanta chapter in the next couple weeks. And I will take notes there as well. So if you see me there, I'll be the guy with the pen and paper. And look forward to seeing all you guys again. But the notes I said was, you know, Denard Robinson, and the reason I wrote his name down is because he was running the best I've ever seen him play. He looked fresh. He looked stretched out. He looked like he was trying to be the feature back. And guess what? He was the feature back. Not just because they gave the ball the most, but he took over the game and said, you know what? You need 100 yards from a running back? I got you. Denard's always been a competitor. I mean, all the way back in the Michigan days, or probably before then. So, you know, Denard, by all means, I applaud your efforts and look forward to seeing it again. I like that Storm was able to come in and pick up some yardage here and there to off-spell everything, because that's a pretty good 1-2 tandem. I like it. Hope you guys liked it. Even ran Lee a couple times. But this performance to me was, like I said, what we all thought they were going to be like this year. They just had to figure out the right combination. You know, there's been some injuries, and I'll get into those in a minute. The defense made stops. They were pressuring the quarterback again. You know, they've had, I don't have the number in front of me, but they have a handful of sacks this year. They're in, I want to say, the top 10, top 12, the Jaguars. I mean, who would have thought that? Or top 10, top 12 in sacks as a team this year. The late first half touchdown drive where Bortles to Allen Robinson, that whole drive, it was really funny that the Browns would you know, do these 60, 70-yard drives and get close and either turn the ball over or I believe they kicked a field goal on the particular one I'm talking about, or maybe they missed a field goal. I can't remember exactly. But I believe they kicked a field goal is what they did. And Bortles came out and within like a minute or so was already in the end zone. It was just pick apart. Here's 12 here, here's 8 here, here's 9 here, here's 15 here, here's 26. All of a sudden, boom, Allen Robinson, welcome to the end zone. Like I said, that was his first touchdown of his career. I know there's going to be many, many more. That guy really is an awesome, awesome wide receiver. The one kind of detraction, now there's a couple things to work on. Clearly Bortles, some of his decisions and some of the receivers trying to get more than 159 yards passing, trying to limit some of the Bortles interceptions. It's going to happen. He's a young quarterback. It's his first year. I mean, he's having to play with 52 or 51, actually, because he knows Storm Johnson from before. He's having to play with 51 new guys that he didn't know 6 months ago. We all know how hard it is starting a new job. I mean, this guy's doing it on a national scale. So, you know, Bortle combat, you're doing amazing. Keep doing it. The thing I did want to say, like I said, kind of the detraction that I've noticed all year, and I call it the Hoyer play because Hoyer does it quite a bit, but there's other teams that have done it, and so far the Jaguars have not been able to stop this particular play. What it is the opposing quarterback, they line up in a usually a T formation of some kind, they do a play action fake to the running back, play action to and him and 8 other guys all run to the right. They make it look like it's a run to the right side. In case you counted, that leaves the quarterback and one other guy. The other guy, usually a tight end or so or a wide receiver, will run across the formation off to the left sideline. Hoyer spins around, out of the fake, throws across his body, or as he's running, turns sideways, throws it to that guy right there. Usually it's an automatic 12 to 15 yards, usually. And I think they ran it 5 or 6 times yesterday. I don't know why they stopped running it, because it was working. The Jaguars, for some reason, couldn't stop it. They kept going for the fake a lot of times. But it leaves a one-on-one on that left side, and to me, that's something I hope they're working on. I'm pretty sure they're working on it from what a lot of you guys are saying as you're going by practice and everything. But, I mean, overall, I'm good. You're the 31st team in the league, technically, because of just the one win, but with everybody else struggling, especially the NFC South, I mean, I don't know who's going to win that. That you know, there's a good chance you can bound right on up. You're only one win away from tying the Falcons, from tying the Saints. I mean, these are perennial good teams. So keep your heads up, and you know, like the Bald City Brigade said in the Teal Street Hooligans a couple minutes ago, actually on Twitter, I saw that. You know, let's do it again in 6 days. Have the big game against the Dolphins, and that is in Jacksonville as well. The Dolphins are kind of having some problems, and that's not some sort of excuse as to why they're going to lose. Ryan Tannehill has been sporadic. He is like a slightly less talented Jay Cutler. Not afraid to really throw the ball, but doesn't necessarily know where he's throwing it. I mean, which is fine. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, they do have pretty good defense. Cameron Wake and some of those guys can get pressure. I do believe the offensive line is going to be able to hold out pretty well. The key is to stopping them, stopping the Dolphins. Like I said, keep Tannehill kind of flush from the pocket. He likes to stay in the little cocoon of the pocket. nothing wrong with that. Pocket passers usually do pretty well. But keep the coverage up the way you did against the Browns. Flush him from the pocket. And get that running game going, because I believe, if I saw the stat correctly, Miami's not so good on run defense. So if Denard can rattle off another 120, this game could go very much like the game against the Browns did. I really think it could. And, you know, if Bortles, we can limit a couple of those interceptions. I mean, I'm okay if he throws one. I'd rather him not throw any at all. But if he throws one, I'm good. But that game against the Dolphins is a 1 o'clock start. It's going to be fun. I believe it's a CBS game. As far as the injury report, I know a lot of you guys heard about Paz. He did tear a pectoral muscle. He is out for the rest of the year. I hate it because he was our leader on defense. But, you know, we'll prevail, and he'll be a good teacher for the other guys. He'll be able to be out there at practice and give some pointers out, and they can bounce ideas off of him. You know, what do you think in this situation? What do you think in this situation? And, you know, obviously Branch is going to be out for 6 weeks with a, I believe it was a knee injury. You know, he'll be missed as well, but it's the next guy up mentality. And all you guys are going to be ready to step up. I mean, it's going to... I mean, that's the way the next guy up mentality works. I mean, everybody else. I mean, you know, Gerhardt with his foot, he may be out again this week, but Denard Robinson, to me, earned his spot. I would start him again. And I think that's what Gus Bradley's kind of leaning towards right now, which I don't have a problem with that. You know, Todman is a good change of pace as well. But I would start Denard Robinson, and between Todman and Storm Johnson, that would be my committee in the back as far as Dispel and Robinson. Kind of changing it up a little bit. Boyenko went out for a little while, but I think he's going to be okay. Everybody seems to step up and take over when they needed to. And like I said, Allen Robinson and Ace and all these, especially Cecil Shorts, I feel like he's due for a big touchdown day. You know, as always, Jaguars.com has a lot of your up-to-the-date information, as well as going to our Facebook page. It's the End Zone page. We'd appreciate if you drop by and leave some pictures in your Jaguar gear. We'll put them all up on there. You can find us, you can email the show, 3endzone@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at 3endzone. You can also find me at the Impact 99. Love to hear from you guys. I always like chatting and everything. You know, even your questions, you know, if there's something I can look into, something you'd rather me try to find out for you, I do my best. And we just appreciate you guys listening every week. Impact Media definitely appreciates it, and I'm glad that they allow me to talk Jaguars every week. And, you know, as we get ready for this game this week, I really don't know that the Dolphins are going to have enough firepower to go against the Jags right now. And I feel like the Jaguars are going to win by about 10 points. I'm gonna go ahead and put it up there and say, let's say 20 to 10. I think 20 to 10, Jacksonville over the Dolphins. I'm going to start putting numbers on this. But once again, thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to do Jaguars on every week. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York, and we'll see you guys next week.